1212, yeah, yeah, hey, hey.
Get up with Claire and Sam.
Get the catch up at hit.com.au
or download the Hit app.
This is The Catch Up on Riverina's MIA Hit 99.7.
There was pretty much an international emergency yesterday. There was the biggest fail of a social media company that we've seen in our existence.
Yeah.
Honestly, it was chaotic. It was like Hunger Games.
Kind
Nothing could get done.
No,
it's amazing how much we focus now on social media.
It really has become like an integral part of our lives.
Yeah.
And when one social media company owns lots of social media platforms and they have an outage, the onslaught that happens is crazy.
Absolutely. And we are talking about Facebook. They have suffered their worst ever, you know, IT issue in its whole existence.
And look, there's outages that happen all the time, right? But normally they last like half an hour.
Yeah, they're small things. Yeah. We can get through
We've
it.
Had them already happen this year.
Absolutely.
But it wasn't just Facebook, was it? Facebook just owns this whole group of apps.
Here we go. We've got Instagram, we've got WhatsApp.
And Facebook.
A couple of others on Facebook, of course. And it's quite funny because Facebook ended up having to go to Twitter to apologise and say,
we're trying
to work on this. Now, when it first went down, right, a few hours in, Facebook got on Twitter and said, we are aware that some people are currently having trouble accessing the Facebook family of apps. We're working to resolve the issue as soon as possible.
Yeah.
This is while it was all happening. Once it had all been fixed, this was their response on Twitter still.
Mm.
Yesterday, as a result of a server configuration change, many people had trouble accessing our apps and services. We've now resolved the issues and our systems are recovering. We're very sorry for the inconvenience and appreciate everyone's patience.
Because
I love
when
how he used that excuse afterwards. They go, oh, no, there was an actual, we were trying to do something.
Yeah. Even when it did come back up, it still wasn't back up in its full entirety.
Yeah, you're right.
Like, I could search through my newsfeed and I could post sometimes, but then other times I couldn't post or I couldn't get to a Facebook page or whatever else.
Yeah, yeah. Publishing was an issue. And yeah, you could only look at maybe if you refreshed a page, you could look at that page. As soon as you try to scroll down, there was nothing.
And I had to call Optus yesterday about a separate issue.
Yeah.
And the first thing that came up was, if you're calling us about the social media outages, we're aware and so are the social media companies. They're working on it. It'll be back.
Well, on top of Optus, they had problems with people calling 000 and reporting that issue.
Oh, you're kidding me.
And people were saying, don't call 000. This is not an emergency.
Yeah, why are they calling 000?
Felt sorry for those poor 000 callers. And they're getting calls from people going, I can't access my Facebook. I can't like my boyfriend's status.
I wonder if this will end up on the next Ambulance Australia episode.
Oh, please. I hope they had were filming. I really do. What else is funny? There's a Facebook outage map that's come up online.
There's a few different websites you can use when there's outages in general for different websites.
Okay. Well, this is interesting because Africa.
Yeah.
Completely unscathed.
Really?
WA, Northern Territory. Looks fine. It's literally going from Melbourne all the way up to Brisbane that's affected. So all of us East Coast.
This is
and then
thing.
All of America and Europe.
With those websites, they're based on people telling that
reporting,
website and reporting it. And so I think a lot of that reporting happened during the hours where WA and stuff were still asleep.
That's a very good point because we were discussing this yesterday when we put up a meme. We thought maybe people are still sleeping, so they might have just completely missed it all.
So do you know what people said to the emergency services when they called?
No idea. No idea. Okay. We can only think and pray that it wasn't something so ridiculous. But all good. Facebook, Instagram, all the rest are still up.
Yeah.
You know what I did think about, though?
Mm.
A lot of businesses, they would be struggling because a lot of them rely on
if you are
Facebook
a social media business.
Only.
Yeah.
Gee, that would have been a tough time.
Oh, absolutely.
Mm, I wonder if they can compo. They can't
compo. Probably not.
No, but
probably not.
Oh, well, it's good to have them back.
Yeah.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up.
With Claire and Sam.
And Claire, I've been trying for the last hour. I want to speak to your husband, Sam, because I want to talk about your finances as a couple. Because we all know romances and romance itself, it's not all unicorns and fairies.
No, not always.
I want to get serious. I want to get sensible for once.
So what exactly do you want to talk about with our finances? You've worried me.
Well, I saw an article by a financial advisor called Helen Baker. She's actually come out with a list of finance do's and don'ts when you couple up, when you get married, when you, you know, move in with each other and stuff like that. So I just wanted to see where you guys are at compared to what Helen Baker, this financial advisor, said. Hubby Sam has spoken to me. I've texted him. He says he's ready to go.
Okay.
So we're going to call him straight after this. get excited.
This is The Catch-Up
with Claire and Sam.
And Claire, we finally got your husband Sam on the phone this morning. Hey, yes. Sammy. Oh,
hey, Sam.
How you going, guys?
Not too bad at all, mate. Not sure if you heard on the radio before, but I have been discussing relationships and how you work out your finances, because
we both know that Sam hasn't had one before, so it's not exactly something he'd know about.
Hey, being 12 counts as a relationship. I bought her
a movie ticket.
Bought her a movie ticket.
That doesn't count.
That's a lie, actually, because I worked at the cinema at the time.
So you didn't even pay for it?
No, hell no.
Okay, well, you want to ask Sam and I some financial questions.
Yeah, because...
Just bear all on the radio, why don't we?
Yeah, because, Sam, there's a lady called Helen Baker. You probably have never heard of her. She's a financial advisor, and she's come out with a list of finance do's and don'ts when you couple up.
Yeah.
And I've got a couple of questions to ask you two to see if you've both covered your butts in your loving cohabitation situation you've got going on.
5 years ago, we started this, and we probably haven't got anywhere, to be honest.
Well, okay.
Yeah, this should be interesting.
Because you guys moved in real quick, didn't you?
Within 2 weeks, I'd moved in.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah, it happened pretty quick.
Now, let's go back 5 years then. Did you both have, individually, did you both have emergency funds? Funds in your individual bank accounts that you were never going to touch unless for a rainy day?
Before Sam responds to this,
I did.
He had funds, and then he took me on a shopping spree.
Sam!
Yeah, I had like $5,000 saved up, and then within about 2 months of us being together, that $5,000 was gone.
What?
He treated me.
Well, I'm glad it's worked out, because that would be another conversation if it didn't. Did you both have, individual supers, I'm guessing?
Well, that's you don't join supers when you meet someone.
No, I mean, you've at least got super. You know, some people are idiots, some people don't have super.
Legally in Australia, you have to.
By law, you have to.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
Sam.
Yeah.
Well, I'm an idiot. No, I've got super.
Because you have to. Okay, move on. Next one.
Both have private health insurance and just general insurance for, home contents, car, all that type of stuff. Did you guys have individual?
No private health insurance because I believe it's a scam.
Oh, there we go.
I've
strong
got
words.
Private health insurance.
There's a question for you. Hubby Sam, you're saying it's a scam for you. Do you think it's a scam still, even for Claire? Claire uses it a lot.
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's a scam. If you have a look at all the commercials and stuff like that that go around, and they say that if you don't have it by the time, I think it's by the time you're 30 or 31, then you'll pay a 2% loading for life. So if I'm 40 and then get private health insurance, I'll then be paying 20% more.
Yeah, but babe, you're 31. You're 31 now, which means that if you don't join my insurance when Bubs is born, you're going to be paying loading for life. We may as well just put you on the cover. Look, this is a discussion.
I was
going to
say,
home.
Have I called 1-300-UE or something? This conversation's turned. All right, let's get back on track here. I want to talk about bank accounts.
Oh, yeah.
What is your PIN code? I'm kidding. Do you guys have joint bank accounts?
We've spoken about this, haven't we, Hubby Sam?
We're supposed
to get one together at the moment. Like, we finally were going to do it. We've been talking about it since the day dot, right?
So right now you do not?
No, at one stage we did have a joint bank account, but we never used it, so it just died.
Well, you know what? Our expert says don't.
Oh, really?
She says have your individual bank accounts.
Well,
the only thing that you should share maybe is home expenses.
As far as the article's concerned, what she's saying is, yes, we technically do have a joint account in the sense that all of our expenses, we both put money towards.
Yeah.
But we don't actually have a joint account in the traditional sense, no.
Okay.
That means I have to change my last name and I can't be bothered because that means like filling in forms. So
you change your last name for many things. Driver's
Some,
license?
Yes, driver's license I have. Electoral, no.
I've updated your email address, by the way, with all mates. For work. Anyway, last question. Let's wrap this up with the big one. Do you guys have a prenup?
No. We don't own anything worth anything to have a prenup.
Claire's only with me because of my money.
Sam makes that joke, but I'm the one that said to inherit, not him.
Oh, love it. Was there ever a conversation about a prenup?
Oh, yeah, we joked about it.
It was never a serious joke.
No, do you know how much it cost to get a prenup in the first place?
No, tell me more. I didn't know this.
It cost heaps. Like, I looked at getting, a will for Sam and I.
Yep.
It's like $500 per person to get a will and something else.
So there goes all your assets.
Well,
anyway.
I was like, I don't own enough to be worth it.
All right, this is a massive hypothetical for husband Sam. Let's say you win the next Oz Lotto, $80 million. Do you get Claire to sign a prenup? Have we lost him?
No. Oh. Well, why would I get Claire to sign a prenup? We're already married.
Yeah, so you can't money, do it after.
You can't.
Oh, you can't.
We can't be like, oh, by the way, I need you to sign this form saying that this is mine and not yours.
Oh, I didn't know that. We'll keep it in your personal bank account, then you'll be right.
No. Oh, no, because if we get divorced, it's still half mine.
I've already realised when I married Claire that what's hers is hers and what's mine is hers as well.
And welcome to marriage. Oh, I love you, Hubby Sam.
On that note, I think there's two losers out of this situation. Hubby Sam and myself.
Pretty much.
Claire, you are the winner. Husband Sam, let's get you back to work. Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
No worries, guys. Have a good one.
Oh, what a way to end the show, Claire. You revealed all.
Yeah, well, you know.
Kind of. You seem pretty sensible with your finances, you two. You're on the same page with everything.
We try and take care of things together rather than separately as much as we can.
Like, love it.
We are in a relationship after all.
Yep. Sorted.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch-Up.
With Claire and Sam.
As we all know, I'm pregnant.
Whoa!
I am now 23 weeks, and so...
Is that counting up or down?
Counting up.
Counting up, okay. Yep. So how many weeks total?
23.
But like when you usually give birth, due date?
Oh, I don't know how many weeks 40. There is still. No. Oh, there's 40 total, yes.
Yeah,
40 weeks total, and I'm 23 at the moment.
Cool. So what's the difference?
Anyway, moving on. So... You've ruined my story.
Oh, I'm sorry.
You've ruined it. It's 6 o'clock in the morning, Sam. You've ruined it.
6:08. We're 8 minutes.
Oh, my gosh. Is that what Friday's going to be like today? Is it, Sam?
No. Okay. Tell your story. We want to hear it.
But now that I've gotten to the kind of halfway-ish point, they recommend that you do some yoga, right? Mm. Now, we both know that I'm not a sporty person in any way. The last time I tried to do anything like yoga, it was Pilates.
Yes.
And I burst a blood vessel in my eye. Mm. Well, I've started going to prenatal yoga out in Yenda. It is actually pretty good, I will admit.
It's harder than, easier than, what do you call it, Pilates?
No, mate.
It's harder.
It's not harder, but it doesn't feel soft. So I thought, I stupidly went in as well, though, with the idea that yoga was one of these, like, real relaxation, no pain, just gentle stretches.
Oh, it's not easy.
No, it's not. Turns out it's not at all. So the first time I walked away from it, I was like, anyone who says yoga's fun has a screw loose. Like, what is this?
It gets fun.
Yeah, and I think as well, my body wasn't used to doing yoga. My body wasn't used to any of it. So the next day, like last Friday, I was a wreck. I was so tired all day. Mm. I was just fatigued, run down. Because my body was like, what did you just do to me, Claire?
Yeah.
Like, what the?
Did not ease into this at all.
No, not at all. Not at all. Didn't even do some stretches before I went. Just like straight in.
Straight into it.
And part of the prenatal yoga is you do something called 2 minutes of pain every time.
Oh, that does not sound fun.
Well, it's to get you like ready for contractions. Not that it causes contractions or anything, but obviously contractions are quite painful.
Yeah.
Not that I've experienced them yet, so I can't tell you how painful, but basically you've got to do something that pushes you to a pain threshold for a minute at a time so that you can learn to breathe through it.
A few punches to the stomach?
No, definitely not. Jesus. We don't punch babies.
Yeah. What is it then?
So the first week, we had to bend our toes backwards and then sit on them.
Oh, so it's not to do with your stomach area.
No, not at all.
Different parts of the body.
Yeah. So it's creating that pain stimuli at the same time.
Yeah, right.
Having to learn to breathe through it. Mm. So the toes was quite painful because my toes don't bend that way and I don't think I've ever stretched them either that way.
Anybody's is supposed to go
Apparently
that way.
You can stretch them that way.
All right.
Yesterday wasn't too bad. We just had to sit, like squat against a wall for a minute at a time.
You're doing that. I'm proud. That's a good effort.
It wasn't that hard. Like, it was hard-ish, but I knew it was ending at the end of a minute, so
yeah,
it wasn't a biggie.
A minute's okay, I guess. Two would have been a different story.
Well, we had to do two separate minutes.
Okay.
Yeah, so we did 1 minute, like, let your legs go, get back in position, do it again.
Yeah.
That's probably the hardest part of the yoga, I think, most of the time.
Sounds like a boot camp.
Like there's relaxation music and stuff going.
that makes it all better, no matter what you're doing.
I'm finding, though, that it is a lot easier to kind of go and get into the flow of it the second week. So this is only week two. Technically week three, I missed the first one. it's only 6 weeks too.
Oh, no, you've missed it.
So I've got like 3 weeks left to go.
Yeah.
But I think it has helped. I think it has made me more conscious. It's more about making me conscious of my breathing and breathing through pain and all that. There are definitely times where I'm like, I don't think my stomach goes this way. Like it doesn't fit.
Yeah, fair enough.
But it is a lot of fun. I'll keep you updated, let you know how I go next week. I could be on a totally different path by that stage and tell you that I hate it again.
You've done the uphill and now it's going to be downhill. You've loosened your body to get used to it and now it should be all right.
Fingers crossed.
Fingers crossed.
This is The Catch-Up.
with Claire and Sam.
There's a mum who has tried to do something really nice for her son, right? Parents are always trying to help out their kids,
especially,
let's be honest.
Mums.
Yeah. And this mum just so happens to love to shop at Kmart, right? Mm-hmm. And there is a Facebook page, which I think I'm part of this group, actually, called, like, Kmart Hacks and Kmart Australia.
Oh, yeah, yep.
So this Aussie mum has taken to this group to show off her latest hack, which she's created from Kmart for her son. She calls it the relaxation station.
Ooh, nice.
Now, yeah, you're probably thinking something nice and relaxing. And
it's beautiful. I've never heard of a relaxation station before.
Well, nor had I, but it's for a teenage son, and she thought it was the perfect thing to help, A, clean up his room a little bit.
Yeah.
And B, help him out so that he wasn't using as much of stuff.
Okay.
So this is what she says on the Kmart Australia Facebook page stuff.
Mm-hmm.
She goes, I love this hack. I just bought a Kmart soap dispenser and a bathroom tray to use as my son's relaxation station.
Mm-hmm.
He likes to watch the internet TV in bed, and he has a chronic runny nose. Tissues for day. I think it's the aircon. He also has problems with dry skin and goes through heaps of hand cream. So I put some Sorbolay moisturiser in the marble soap dispenser, which will hopefully last longer.
Okay.
But wait, there's more.
Oh, there's more.
He now has everything to use all in one spot. He's also got his speaker, a lamp, a phone charger, and just need to find a cute tissue box holder now.
Claire, what is his relaxation station?
Yeah, I don't think she knows what her son's up to. Teenage son who goes through lots of tissues, watches internet TV, and has very dry skin and uses a lot of Sorbolay.
A bit more of this one, isn't it? What's going on?
Yeah, I think he's watching something that probably isn't what she thinks he's watching, that's for sure. And most of the internet agrees with us in our thinking, because there were people who commented all sorts of stuff like, that ain't his runny nose, and, oh, goodness, that ain't snot in the tissue, babe.
That's not a... Can I just say, it's not a relaxation station. This is an accidental masturbation station.
Pretty much, yeah. It's an X-rated... incident that's happened. I think she's probably learned her lesson now with all the comments back. She's probably like, oh my gosh.
Poor mother. We'll never see her son the same way.
Was she not a teenager?
Yeah, but you know, there's innocent...
Oh, she's not a boy. She wasn't a boy.
There's innocent people out there, Claire, that don't think it happens as often as it does. Trust me. It happens.
I'm sure it does.
This is...
Are we ready?
The Catch Up.
With Claire and Sam.
Hey, we've got Dancing with the Stars. It's well underway at the moment, Claire, isn't it?
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Special guest is joining us.
We have the lovely Jimmy Rees on the phone with us this morning. Now, we did speak to him before Dancing with the Stars kicked off about how he felt. Let's find out how he is now. Hey, Jimmy, how are you?
Morning, Jimmy.
Hey, guys, I'm going good. I hope you're well as also.
Oh, yes, thank you, yes.
Very well. Now, mate, if people haven't been watching Dancing with the Stars, they will definitely know you from your fantastic ABC show,
Giggle and Hoot.
Yes, of course. Now, that tune that's probably been bugging parents' ears for 10 years now.
Let's pump it up. Party up in here.
Now, Jimmy, obviously you've had dancing experience to an extent with that, but how do you think you're going? I did watch on Monday night, and you didn't do amazingly according to what, you know, the judges thought, but I thought you were good.
Well, save the day there, Claire.
Yeah. Well, you know, judges, smudges, I don't know. I just try my best, right? And I thought I did all right. I was happy with my performance. I think that's all you can hope for, you know, that I didn't fall over.
Yeah.
I kind of got 98% of the steps right.
And that's all that matters, right? Like, was it the cha-cha that you were doing? I was trying to figure it out.
Oh, I was doing the salsa on Monday. And yeah, it was so fast. Like, it was just one of those ones which was...
There was a lot of foot movement.
A lot of foot movements. It's, you know, in a nutshell, the steps are quite similar, but they're all sort sort of the same as I'm learning week by week about all these dancers. But, you know, like we had a few tricks in there and some of them went wrong in the rehearsals. And, I was just so relieved to get through the whole routine.
your pizzazz is there.
Yeah,
your smiling
absolutely.
Face. You're pretty rhythmatic, whatever the hell that was. But obviously the technical side of things, everyone seems to be getting caught up on. You're not the only celebrity that's getting pulled up for that type of stuff. Have you felt like you've grown, though, in the last few weeks? It hasn't been long, but has it just been a really steep learning curve and you feel like you're getting somewhere?
Yeah, totally, yeah. It has been a steep learning curve. And we had like about a four-week lead into the first couple of dances, really, and they gave you the dances that you'd be doing. And I couldn't believe that it actually took me like 4 weeks to learn 1 minute of a routine. But now we have to. And I guess we've gotten better. We can learn it in a couple of days, you know. Like it's
once you've got the basic movements down as well, I think it's a lot easier, hey?
Yeah.
And I think it's a confidence thing as well, you know. Like I was so not confident at the start. Am I doing it all wrong? What's the technique? And a lot of them transfer from dance to dance, different style to style. But it is like, how did it take me 4 weeks to do a minute?
Yeah.
And I still messed it up on the night.
Now, Jimmy, are you allowed to tell us what's coming up next Monday?
Oh, yes. So Monday is, it's movie night, actually.
Ooh.
And, so we're sort of issued a movie, and you'll be pleasantly surprised what my movie is. It's totally different from Giggle and Hoop.
Ooh, X-rated.
It's 50 Shades of Grey. So there you go.
Nailed it!
Showing all your talents there, Jimmy.
Mate. Oh, you were already a fan with the mums, and I think that's just going to really jackpot that big time. Thanks for let's leave it on that note.
Yeah,
thanks for joining us this morning, mate.
Don't forget to vote for Jimmy as well, because we want to keep seeing him in this show. You are amazing. I will tell you that, Jimmy. You look fantastic when you dance. Good luck on Monday night.
Yes, we're looking forward to it.
Thanks, guys. Like I said, I'm just trying my best. Try not to mess it up.
Good on you, mate. Dancing
Thank
with
God.
The Stars. It continues next Monday night, 7:30 on the Win Network. Cheers, Jimmy.
See ya.
Let's go. Trending now at hits.com.au.
Hey, Claire, it's gotten from bad to worse for the Today Show.
Uh-oh, what happened?
Their new female-only lineup, or female-fronted lineup, has slumped to third place Wednesday morning in the ratings, which has never happened to them before.
Ooh, okay.
Obviously, Sunrise are leading the charge with about 500,000 or just under viewers a morning. Unfortunately for the Today Show, they have slumped to... On Wednesday, 265,000 pairs of eyeballs around Australia.
That's not a lot.
Guess what? It is lower than the ABC Breakfast Show.
Oh.
For the first time ever, the ABC Breakfast Show has come second, and the Today Show has fallen to third.
That's bad.
It got worse. Even Monday morning, the morning show, which is after Sunrise on Channel 7, had more viewers than the Breakfast Show the Today Show. So they're getting beaten left, right, and centre, but... You've got to give them time. I think with breakfast shows like us, it's habitual. People need to get used to hearing, you know, the same people, seeing the same people, and maybe they've still got to stick it out. They're copying it from left, you know, they're copying it from us. They're copying it left, right, and centre. But hopefully they can stick it out to see those ratings eventually climb up a bit.
See, the other hard thing is that, like, you've got to know when to pull the plug.
You don't want it to get too bad, yeah.
Yeah, like is it at that point where they need to?
Nah, I think we're in March, nah. We're early in the piece.
Yeah.
They'll probably be given until the end of the year to see where things come around.
True.
And go from there. But yeah, not looking good in terms of ratings at all at the moment.
New.
For more trending now news, head to hit.com.au.
This is The Catch Up with Claire and Sam.
We've spoken about this. Before Ooh, about planes.
Yes.
We were speaking about planes earlier on this morning, but there has been some new information, some new data that's just come out talking about planes and birds. Now, when you think planes and birds, you know they don't mix, right?
No.
Planes and birds are a big no-no. So what happens is at Sydney Airport, for instance, they actually have people who put off like, they're not proper like gunshots, but they're like blanks and stuff to scare birds away from the runway.
Oh, cool. Smart.
Yeah. And they do that at most of the big airports or if there's an area where there's lots of birds.
Yeah.
And that's to obviously stop the birds from mingling with the planes. Last thing you want. Well, it turns out as much as we do try and avoid birds, there are a staggering amount per year of birds that planes hit.
Really?
Yeah. So... You know, planes going, birds, bang,
birds coming
gone.
Through.
gone.
Boom.
Exactly.
Should have got a bang sound effect.
But basically, there's been a new survey that's just come out from the Australian Transport Safety Bureau.
Yeah, big dogs.
And according to the report that came out, in the years between 2008 and 2017, so 9 years, right? A whopping 16,626 confirmed bird strikes happened.
So these are birds running into planes, or not running.
Either way, flying, yes, yeah. Flying into planes, yeah. 2017 alone, they had a record-breaking 1,921. And this is just in Australia.
I got a question. Can I ask it?
Go for it.
I thought that if a bird hit a plane, especially in the propeller, usually, you know, I've watched Sully. That thing going down.
Well, this is it, right? There's in all of those incidents, there was not one plane that went down. There were 19 total accidents, as they call them. Mm-hmm. But accidents means like nearly accidents, pretty much.
Yeah, okay.
So, you know, only 9 resulted in minor injuries to passengers or pilots. No serious injuries from bird strikes were recorded during that 9-year period.
It's amazing how a tiny little bird
yeah.
can put off a massive plane.
I know, right? I love this, though. I love the wording they've used. So roughly 1 in 10 bird strikes involving planes with jet engines saw a bird get ingested into one of those engines.
Got to fuel those planes somehow.
Yeah. There were 11 occurrences of one or more birds being sucked into 2 engines of the same plane.
Jeez.
So obviously, if it's only a 2-engine plane and you get more birds than one ingested into that plane, it's probably going to need to land.
Absolutely.
But don't worry, it's still safe to travel. This obviously happens all the time, and as much as we think it's scary, pilots seem pretty chilled.
Yeah, we'll take their word for it.
Want more Claire and Sam? Download the Hit app. This is the show. Want more access to exclusive prizes? Become a VIP at hit.com.au.